Hello. Welcome to Super Together. It's the podcast where a life coach, vacuum salesperson, and a couples therapist.
That's actually just two people. Yeah. Life coach slash vacuum salesperson.
Because I won't land on a title. And so James changes it every time. So last week I was an alligator wrestler, which I really felt empowered with that one. Yeah. Now, vacuum salesperson is kind of fun too. Okay. And so I'm Ginger Rathis and I'm the life coach. And across from me is James Cochran and he's the couples therapist. So James, what are we talking about today?
Well, Ginger, it's funny you should ask. We are talking about the fifth of the Big Five personality series topics, which is openness to change. Now, it's only fifth because we're doing it fifth out of five. It's not, I don't know if there's a specific order. But yeah, that's the basic idea. Openness to change, that there is a spectrum that exists that can tell you whether you feel like you're the type of person who is, spontaneous, you're ready to try new things, you want to shake things up on a regular basis, or you like the same old thing. Now, the prototypical example for this with most couples is, where are you going to go out to eat? Are you going to try a new place every single time you go out to eat, or are you going to go to the same places and get the same things? So where do you find yourself falling on this particular spectrum, Ginger?
Like off the charts open, because I love change. I love new experiences. I get bored when I do the same thing twice. But I'm sure we're going to discuss how that's to a fault, but it's, I love, to me, change is like the spice of life and keeps it interesting. So for Rob, I think Rob would say, no, I'm good with no change. And he would probably, like a restaurant, he would go to an old standby that we both love. And he would order the same thing, and sure. So, yeah, I think in our relationship, what we have really discovered about each other is to learn to appreciate that in one another. So he loves the enthusiasm I bring to change, and I love the safety, risk aversion, think again that he brings regarding change too. Like he keeps me safe in the, have you thought about these things? Let's play this out. And so it's really a good balance. And I think that I could see how couples would get frustrated with that. And sometimes I will say, like, it's okay to be excited about this. Like, I have to remind him to be excited about change sometimes. But we can laugh about it a little bit. And it is a grounding force for me. Because I'd move houses a lot. I would, I'd live in every part of the city. I would, probably create more chaos in our lives because I like change.
Yeah. So what I find interesting about this topic is the way that it is on its surface very much about that variety is the spice of life. So are you interested in variety or are you boring? I think is kind of it could be very easy again to think of it in that sort of good, bad terms like a lot of these have been. But sort of underneath the surface, it has to do with like where do you find security? Do you find security in, oh, I found a thing that I like. I found a restaurant and a dish that isn't going to make me sick, that I know tastes good, that is worth my money. So why on earth would I ever deviate from that? Versus the perspective of, like, I will only feel secure when I find the best thing, the best version of whatever it is that I'm after. So I need to continue pursuing that. Sense of understanding what is underneath the surface for both of those feels like an important thing to pay attention to as we move into this. For me, I think I am far more interested in change. And I think that there are certain things that, you know, Lindsay is going to be more change averse than other things. So for example, left to my own devices, I would probably get a new car every year or so. And I think part of that is because I grew up and my stepdad was a car dealer. And so like I was just always sort of trading up, like finding new weird cars to have. I won't tell people what my first cars were because I've, recently learned that well, I don't know if I recently learned it, but that's one of those like password questions that people can use.
Yes,
so
is.
I won't tell you, everybody. I'll tell you that like my second car was a 1985 Cadillac Eldorado, but that's not going to be a password for anything on there.
My mom had one of those.
Yeah.
That was
It was a car. Yeah. It was that.
Did you have like the two-door coupe?
Two-door.
Yes.
Yeah, two-door. And it got horrible gas mileage, but it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how do we feel like this most often shows up in relationships, especially when we look at conflict? Because I think we want to work toward finding a way to appreciate these kinds of differences. But what are the things that feel especially sticky in terms of how couples are going to be on different pages when it comes to issues like this?
Yeah, I think one area of conflict around change would be financial, probably, mm-hmm. because, you know, I think finances are such an integral part of a partnership, mm-hmm. like a romantic partnership or in shared resources. So like in the restaurant example, you know, you want to know what you're getting for your money. And I know this is a good value. And if we go to another restaurant, I'm not sure what I'm getting. I could see how financially we could cause a lot of friction potentially, because my wanting a new house all the time or a new car all the time, that is not probably a financially smart move.
Mm-hmm.
So if I felt like Rob was always fighting me on that, that would be an area of conflict. And he would probably come at it from a responsibility standpoint, and I would come from a you're holding me back mm-hmm. standpoint, right? So that would be an area of conflict if I felt like he wasn't allowing me to embrace the changes or mm-hmm. the creativity or the whims. I also think that it can be conflict like on vacation. So, you know, we both are pretty adventurous on vacation. We're not great sit and read people, but I think that I get bored quickly, and that could be an area of conflict because he just wants to chill. And why aren't you just sitting here with me? Why do we have to go do something? So, you know, and I would have to be careful to make that not about I'm bored with you. I'm just bored because I want to go do something. So I could see that being an area of conflict of just different tendencies in the way we approach things around this general topic of openness, I think breaks down into, maybe some areas of differences in our partnership.
Yeah. And that to me, I think points to something that has come up over and over again as we've had these conversations about personality differences. And that is being able to accept influence from the other person, being able to sort of understand why a particular thing is important to them. Because personality is something that is stable over time. It is, I mean, by definition, personality are the sort of thoughts, feelings, behaviors that persist over time that sort of shape the way you move through the world. And so it is hard for us, I think, to really get to a place where we understand somebody's personality unless we really, really try. My wife, if she wants to stay in the same car forever and ever, I don't understand how that doesn't bore her. I would be like, don't you want something new? Don't you want something exciting? Don't you want something with new features and that looks cooler and goes faster and gets better gas mileage and, you know, sprouts wings and flies away? It's so hard for me to get to a place where I say, yeah, oh, I see that what you're really interested in is we have something that works. We don't need to spend the time and energy finding something new. We don't need to incur the potential cost and the increase in insurance and all the other things that are going to come along with buying a new vehicle. Now, again, that perspective is something that I'm really only going to find if I allow it to be present intentionally and if I allow myself to accept that influence from them. And so I think that that is something that requires a lot of give and take in relationships. I don't think that it is, generally speaking, something where I would say, you know, if you're, this is not fair for me to say, if you're the boring partner, I don't want to say like accept all the variety and influence and all the different types of things that the new ways of approaching the world that your partner wants you to see. I think that the partner that loves variety needs to accept some of that stability and security. So as something that kind of moves in both directions. And that's tough because I think it's hard for us to sort of be challenged into a new way of thinking by our partners.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm an Enneagram 7, which is the enthusiast, which is probably not surprising. But one of the downsides of that is that I lack, you know, I can tend to lack focus on things. And I can run to the next shiny object. And I really noticed that in, you know, in my business, in creative pursuits, like I love something at the beginning and then I quickly bore at it. I remember my mother telling me that when I was little, I would like love setting up the Barbie house, like, you know, all the rooms of the house, all the furniture, the refrigerator, you know, all the little food in the refrigerator, all that stuff. But then I didn't want to play with the Barbie house, right? So the setup is super fun to me. And that I think is the new experience is fun. But the downside is that I, you know, want to jump to something new. And I think when we're looking at partnerships, you know, I don't, it doesn't happen in partnerships. Like I'm bored with this. I want a new one, but I do have to kind of remind myself like, this is a good thing and this is a lasting thing. And we don't want to change partners. You know, we can change settings. We can change jobs. We can change other things, but this is your partner for life and you're, you know, and learning to appreciate instead of fight against it. Because I think if I saw everything as a, you're holding me back, then I would want to change partners too. But yeah, so what you're saying about appreciating it in the other one and looking at the balance, I think that's certainly important in weighing our values, right? Like what kinds of changes are important to me in life? Well, not partner changes, but cars and houses, yes. So there's a spectrum of what you're calling adventure and change and new things too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as you described kind of this idea that there are some things that for our sort of health, both our health individually and our health in relationships, we would probably want to lean into that sort of static, persevering kind of approach versus trying to find something new. Right. There's a Buddhist notion of drilling 1 6-foot well rather than 6 1-foot wells. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what that makes me think of. There are some things where the variety that you are seeking is something that you achieve by pursuing something at depth, which honestly is something that I think in relationships, and especially for people who are Enneagram 7s, I'm an Enneagram 5. Just so everybody knows, the Enneagram is one of those, it's kind of this personality inventory that has these 9 different parts, and each of those 9 parts sort of represents a different kind of approach to the way that you move through the world. And it really speaks to kind of what motivates you. Now, a 7 is somebody who is motivated by adventure, motivated by the journey and finding new things. A 5 is somebody, I'm all about knowledge and discovery. But when a 5 is unhealthy or when a 5 is having a hard time, they often take on the some of the less admirable traits of a 7. So one of the things that, you know, if I'm creating content, and once that content is finished, I'm ready to go and create the next thing. And sometimes Lindsay will have to say to me like, no, just stop and be inside this content for a minute. Don't feel the need to just continue to pursue and create and create and create. And that is, I think, speaks to the pursuit of something at depth, to really, so if we actually think of this as like digging a hole, people who are on the openness to change end of the spectrum that are very open, they're going to get bored after 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, because it's all just the same dirt. Now, the people who are comfortable with, you know, things being more static, they're going to say, no, let's just keep digging here, because here we're going to find something if we keep digging long enough. And this is something that we're familiar with and we're comfortable with, and we know the nature of the soil, and there's that kind of comfort there. And I think that there are things that we would want to be paying close attention to, like our relationships, that we can say, after your relationship is different after 5 years than it is after 10 years, than it is after 15, than it is after 20. And if you keep leaning into and investing in your relationship, then you find a new richness, you know? And I think the same thing can be true of, even when we use a more trivial example, like a restaurant. You know, if I go to a new restaurant every single week, I'm going to try a lot of new foods, but I'm not going to form very many relationships. I'm not going to get to know the wait staff. I'm not going to, you know, be able to understand, you know, who are the other regulars that are there all the time? You know, what is the, what's the chef most interested in terms of the types of things that they're creating? Let's go to the same restaurant twice a month and then a new restaurant the other two times a month. Then we get to explore things at their depth, but also sort of scratch that itch. And I think that that speaks to the broader kind of compromise that we would probably guide couples towards, which is to say, you know, find the spaces in your life that it really honors the person who is less open to change. It honors that need for security and stability by leaning into those things. But then find the things that are going to allow the person who is more open to change and spontaneity, the things that really help them come alive.
Yeah, I think I love what you're saying about going deeper and what the good that comes from that and the good that comes from building relationships and knowing people. I think that I longed for that. Maybe it's a like subconscious personal growth thing, but I had had 13 careers after college and kept trying different things and would do something about 3 years and get the itch for a change and then, you know, change directions. And when I turned 40, I noticed I really wanted to go deeper. I felt like I had skimmed the surface of so many things, and I really wanted to specialize in something. And I think that was kind of the drive to then go to seminary of, this is something I really want to study. I want to go deep here. And what I've found is, instead of that being limiting, it actually, you know, has made me feel more alive than ever. So committing to one topic and going deep, like I did with God and theology, has taught me that there is a world of opportunity in that depth. Mm-hmm. So there are more topics than I will get to talk about in my lifetime in the world of theology. And I want to grow more expertise. I want to go deeper. I want to stay in this lane the rest of my life, which is very different than my previous 13 careers. I never felt that before.
Sure.
So I think that I'm hearing what you're saying about the benefit of going deeper. For somebody who, like me, loves change, I'm learning the richness of deeper connections, you know, investing in people and sticking with them, investing in a topic and staying with it. And that idea of focus and commitment and dedication has been a learning experience for me, that there's beauty deep within that.
Yeah, absolutely. As we wrap up the conversation around this conversation of openness to change, but also the big five personality traits, I do think that there is value in saying, what do we want to pay attention to with all of these? Like, what are the sort of general tips when it comes to, I am different from my partner when it comes to openness to change. I'm different from my partner when it comes to emotional sensitivity. I'm different from my partner when it comes to organization, when it comes to introversion, extroversion. I'm different from my partner when it comes to agreeableness. What are the things that would allow us to bridge those gaps? I think one of them that came up in every single one of the episodes is to really try to inhabit our partner's perspective. Instead of taking our own perspective by default, really consider, okay, somehow, inexplicably, this is the way that it is for my partner. Somehow they look at the world in this particular way. So how do I see the world the way that they're seeing the world? How do I allow that to affect my experience? What are some of the things that we can give folks as kind of ways of approaching this?
I think asking yourself, what can I learn from them?
Mm-hmm.
What am, you know, and I love the prayer, like, God, help me see this differently when I'm disagreeing with somebody. And so that's in the spirit of, what can I learn from them? How could the way they see the world and the way they go move through the world teach me something or help grow me? So yeah, that feeling of not good or bad. My way is not right and your way is wrong. But the I'm better if I value you and the way you see things.
Absolutely. That there's a richness of experience that comes from learning from the way that our partners see the world. I'm not sure if there's probably like 10 more, so you can go back and listen to the other episodes to figure out the different lessons that we drew. I think that a final one might be this idea that these differences really help us to become the best version of ourselves as a couple. So we can think about how these differences affect us individually and how we can bridge these gaps, but really looking at the idea that you know, the best version of ourselves as a couple is one in which we allow your organizational skills and my lack of organizational skills to come together to keep us organized enough to keep our lives, together and cohesive, but allows enough flexibility for us to, you know, move through the world more comfortably. So finding that middle space, I think, is what allows us to really be healthy as couples. And, you know, we ignore that probably to our own detriment. Yeah. So any other thoughts on openness to change or personality in general?
I think all of these episodes have reminded us that these are great things to be talking about. These are great topics to bring up in conversations. And starting it with I know this about myself. I get bored easily. So how can we make this vacation work best for you? Or, you know, what's the compromise in the restaurant decision? But those are all, these are kind of foundational things that you could be conversing about. And hopefully these episodes give you language around it and self-awareness that allows you to have those conversations in your partnerships.
Today's listener voicemail is from Jess.
Hi, this is Jess, and my topic that I have questions on is boundaries. It's an important topic to be addressed in all areas of our lives, and I just think that we could all use a refresher and a reminder of good tidbits of, you know, whether you call them red flags or certain situations. I'd especially like to ask about family relationships and boundaries. Boundaries with, you know, talking about religion and politics at the Thanksgiving table, things like that. So enjoy, and I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast. Take care.
Jess, that is a great question. In fact, one that as we kind of mapped out the final quarter of the year, we looked at revisiting politics and just having a really in-depth discussion about how we can approach these conversations in a way that feels healthy, in a way that feels like it, you know, honors our individual perspectives, but also allows us to, you know, stand up for our own values and, you know, create spaces that feel like they make sense. Ginger, as you think about, you know, some high level kinds of things that would shape the, you know, the boundaries that we show up with, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I think that my working definition of boundaries is the space in which I can love you and me at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about Jess's question with religion and politics and family, I think about, you know, where is my line at which I can honor you and honor me at the same time in this conversation? So what are the areas of that topic in which I can't just be a doormat because that's not honoring myself? But there are, you know, and where is the line where I can live in a little disagreement and conflict and still love us both at the same time? And so I'm constantly filtering that in my own brain and my own kind of family relationships. And, you know, holidays are hard. We're going to have a hard holiday this year where we have COVID opinions. We have political opinions. We're all kind of living in an agitated state of anxiety to begin with. And so I think this will be a powerful episode to talk about how do we each kind of define what boundaries we need to protect ourselves and help ourselves be the best people we want to be, while at the same time loving those around us and showing grace to all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only thing I would probably add to that is just having those conversations ahead of time, so that you feel prepared, not only around what are your expectations for, you know, what is obnoxious Uncle Ted going to say that you want to make sure you challenge, and what is obnoxious Uncle Ted going to say that you feel like you can let go, and have that conversation with your partner. You know, be prepared to figure out, what do we want to model for our kids? What are the hills that we're prepared to die on, so to speak? And so I think that our episode in a couple of weeks will go into depth about what it actually looks like to flesh those out. But those are some of the broad ideas, and we're going to try to get that episode out before Election Day. It'll be, I think, the week before the election. So hopefully we'll create some opportunities for people to carry that into their discussions.
Yeah, and on the topic of boundaries, a plug for the Compassion Fix community. That's our November topic.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you want to join, we're finishing up October right now, which was How Do I Believe in Myself Again and Building Self-Trust. So all of those videos are available to you. But also November will be a dive deep into the topic of boundaries, if that interests you more. So that'll be complimentary to Super Together.
Absolutely. And they can find that at?
Yes, compassionfix.com. And then you'll see the community page.
All right. So you can find more about Ginger at CompassionFix.com and more about James at TalkingWithJames.com. If you really want to get connected to us and with other folks trying their best to make relationships work, you can check out our Facebook group, which is at Super Together Podcast. You can connect with other listeners, engage with Ginger and I, and submit questions for our listener voicemail. And we're trying to figure out lots of other cool ways to make that community vibrant. So feel free to join us on there. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Ginger, you got anything else?
No, just be well.